Good evening to everybody out there. This is my first Wednesday night that we're not having services here at the church. And I just want to have you pray and continue to pray for the situation that's going on with people getting sick. And, you know, we pray that we'll be able to get back to normal services soon. We've got it planned for April 5th. Sunday, April 5th, and don't worry, we're still going to be doing the penny contest, and we're still going to collect money for that for at least another couple of weeks, maybe even 3 weeks. Anything we can do to let the ladies have a chance of winning. So just continue to pray about our situation, and I hope that you're listening in. And so with that being said, open your Bibles tonight to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. What we're going to do is we're going to continue to preach here. It's just I'm be preaching to empty seats. And it's a little bit strange, but you know, it's I want to continue to preach. I still want to get the Word of God out there to people. And I know that many of our members are listening, and I want you still to be able to grow, even during this time when we're kind of locked up and having to stay inside. And so it's all about you continue to growing in the Word of God. And again, if you need anything, make sure you give me a call, and I'll try to call all of you during this time and just have fellowship with you over the phone. But stay safe out there. Psalm chapter 16, look if you would, starting at verse 1. David's writing the psalm, and he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that has hastened after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in the pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved." If you remember, there's a song that we sometimes sing that says, "I shall not be moved." Verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also rest in hope, or also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now, I want you to pay particular attention tonight to verse 6, where David says, he says, "The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places." Now, if you remember, when David was just a teenager, the prophet Samuel poured the anointing oil over him and declared that one day that he would be king of all Israel. Shortly after that, David went to be in the court of King Saul, and early on in that period of time, David confronted and killed the giant Goliath. And from that moment on, there was so much praise brought to David, like the lady saying, you know, Saul has killed his thousand and David has killed his 10,000s, that over the years, Saul was moved with insane jealousy. Now, we know the story. Because of that, David had to flee for his life because Saul wanted to kill him, and David wouldn't hurt the man of God. So a period of years, there were quite a few years there, David was a fugitive. He was a man on the run, trying to get away from someone who was trying to take his life. That someone was King Saul. And he was in some very difficult places during those times. He was in caves, and he was hiding out, and it was out of these experiences that David wrote some of the most meaningful psalms and some of the great psalms of the Bible. And may I remind you tonight that many psalms were written in horrible pits and horrible caves, and many of the psalms were written when things were going bad. And may I also remind you that whatever the time may be in your life and whatever may be going on with you, it's an opportunity for you to learn something about God. It's an opportunity for you to see His goodness and His grace and His power. And so rather than always getting down when bad things are happening, that's a time that we can learn about God. That's a time that we can learn much about him and watch him work. Now, notice in verse 6 here that David says that he is in pleasant places. Now, you may be thinking that when you read that, that David was no longer in a bad situation, that he was everything that was bad was pretty much over with. But you might be in for a surprise. David says that he's in pleasant places, and yet the indication is that he's still in the cave, and that he's still on the run. And in the middle of these difficult times, David is able to declare that the lions have fallen unto him in pleasant places. Now, let me give you a little background to the statement there where he says, the lions are falling unto me in pleasant places, because we don't really use that type of wording when we're talking. So we need to find out exactly what he was talking about. Now, when you read back in the book of Joshua, you'll find that when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, and when they were conquered by the Canaanites, or when they were conquering the Canaanites there, God told Joshua to divide that promised land up according to the tribes and give each tribe a section of that land. Then each individual family was to be given a special place. So the lines were drawn and the boundaries were made. Boundary stones were set up, and every tribe knew exactly what their portion was and what their possession was. Each family knew what the inheritance was that God had given them in the land. And we can imagine an Israelite, after the lines had been drawn, the boundaries had been set, and he was given his plot, going out to the place where God had given him in the land of Israel, and looking out at everything that was his. And we can imagine him looking out at the lush valleys that were there and seeing the mountains and the streams of water. And he would look at the fruit trees and that were just laden down with fruit. And the Bible says it was indeed the whole land there was a land of milk and honey. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. And I can just imagine an Israelite looking at the lines that God had drawn for him and would have lifted up his heart and said, "Oh, Lord, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. How good you are to me." And so, of course, we know that Dave and his family had a special place there in the land, in the promised land. It was around the little village of Bethlehem. But at this particular time, David is not inside of these pleasant places that had been assigned to him and his family. Saul at this time had David on the run, like we said, and was keeping him from what God had given him in terms of an inheritance. Yet though he was not in the place where God had given him and his family, David still, in the midst of difficult situations, says to the Lord, "Thy lines are fallen out unto me in pleasant places." Now, tonight, I want to talk to you about some pleasant places we have as Christians during difficult circumstances. And the first pleasant place that we have as Christians is the place of protection. Notice in verse 1 there, in Psalm chapter 16, verse 1, it says, David says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not, my goodness extendeth not to thee." Now, the King James translators did a very good thing for us, because every time you see the word Lord in all capital letters in your Bible, it is referring to Jehovah. It is referring to the Father. Then he says, "Thou art my Lord." So David is aware of the fact that he has a great protection, that he's safe in the God who is the Creator and Master. And then he says this. He says, "My goodness extendeth not to thee." Meaning, Lord, I don't have any goodness that I can offer you. If you remember, Jesus one time said, "There is none good but God. Why do ye call me good?" He was saying to the individual who had called him good master, if you remember that. And what he was saying was, you can't call me good if you don't call me God. And if you don't call me God, then you can't call me good. And what he was basically saying there was, he was saying to this man who had called him good master, he was looking at him and saying, "I am God." But notice that he said that there is none good but God. And so the truth is, folks, today we don't have any goodness of our own that we can give God. I mean, all of our works are as filthy rags, the Bible says. So David is saying, Lord, I don't have any goodness that I can offer you. And may I say, there is not a man who has ever lived on this earth other than Jesus Christ himself who could say any different than what David said. We don't have any goodness that we could offer to the Lord. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God." Aren't you glad for that? I mean, isn't that a pleasant place to be in, to know that that we're saved by the very grace of God? That there's no good work that we could possibly do to save ourselves. I mean, if there were folks, you know, we'd all be men most miserable, the Bible says. And so, if you're saved, you're in a pleasant place tonight. You have the salvation and the safety which comes from the right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 3 of our text in Psalm chapter 16, David talks about the saints. Now, keep in mind that this man is a man who's destined to be king. Yet David says in verse 3, "But to the saints that are in heaven," or I'm sorry, "but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, and in whom is all my delight." He's talking about God's children. David wanted to have a relationship with God's people. He liked to be around God's people. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons that David, one of David's great friends was Nathan the prophet. And I think that's why David cultivated the friendship with Nathan, and he wanted to be around a godly person. I believe that's the reason why David also was such good friends with Jonathan, for the same reason. Question is, do you cultivate your acquaintances with God's people? I mean, do you like to fellowship with God's people? Do you realize that one of the evidence that shows that we're the children of God is our love for other Christians? In 1 John 3:14, the Bible says, "We know we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren." When the Lord saved you, he put you in a real big family. Every saved person is your brother and your sister in the Lord, and you probably ought to get to know them. I mean, amen? I mean, you better get to know them now because you're going to be around them for a long time. So, you know, I will say that some of the sweetest, some of the kindest people on this earth are God's people. Now, I know sometimes they can get irritating, and I know sometimes that they don't always say the right things, and I know sometimes that they disappoint us, and I'm sure I disappoint them. But the truth of the matter is I'd rather hang around saved people than the unsaved world. I'd rather have fellowship with saved people, because the fellowship I have with saved people, you know, that's something that's going to help me out spiritually. It's something that's going to give me just a sort of a peace, you know, that when I'm fellowshipping with saved people and we're talking about the Lord, there's just nothing better than that. And so, young people, your best friends ought to be Christians. And men, your best friends ought to be those who know the Lord. And ladies, your best friends ought to be those who know the Savior. And he's saying here, I want you to get to know the true, I want to get to know the people of God. And then in verse 4, he says, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God." Now, the Lord gives you an important lesson here. And he's saying that whatever kind of God you go after is what you'll get. He says, if you multiply gods, you'll multiply grief. David had seen the other gods. David had been down in Gath and seen Dagog and, that god. And David had been down Moab and seen Chemosh, the false god there. And David had seen the atrocities of the false gods and those people that had worshipped them. And missionaries who go into different places of the world, even today, where people worship false gods, have told us the stories of the atrocities that come from those that worship false gods. Now, America may not be engrossed and possessed in possessing all those carved statues as other countries do. Certainly, I mean, I don't see too many people worshiping as many false gods as, you know, those people in India. But we do have our false gods here in the United States. I mean, we have materialism, we have sports, we have entertainment, we have music, and we have entertainment and our intelligence and education. And I'm not saying those things are necessarily bad, but what I am saying is that when we start to hold them too high and we start to put the priority on them, and pretty soon that becomes the focus of our lives. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're worshiping that rather than God. And when that happens, sorrows will be multiplied. When that happens, you know, we're going to start to feel empty on the inside. But David says, I'm in pleasant places. And in a pleasant place for us as Christians is a place of protection. Not only is a pleasant place for us as Christians today the protection of God, but the other pleasant place that we're in as Christians today is a place of provision. In verse 5, it says, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. And he's saying that in a pleasant place I have learned that if I have the Lord, I have the most important reality in my life. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. And this is similar to really what the Levites experienced, if you think about it. Do you remember that all the tribes of the children of Israel, all of them were given a portion of land? They were given an inheritance. They were given a parcel of land. But the tribe of Levi was never given their own portion of land. The Lord said that the tribe of Levi, which is the priest who ministered before the Lord there in the tabernacle, he says, you will not have any inheritance in land because I'll be your inheritance, the Lord said. I'll be your portion, and you belong to me. And so David is saying here, I have learned that if I have you, Lord, if you are my inheritance, that's what really matters in my life. Then he says, of my cup. Now, let me ask you this. Can you say the Lord is your cup? I mean, can you say sooner or later that, you know, can you say my cup runneth over? I mean, when I say to you that my cup runneth over, I think everybody understands exactly what that means. That means when you get so filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you just want to jump up and yell hallelujah or click your heels, you know, that you just get overwhelmed with the presence of God. You know, and that's the way it should be. I mean, he is our inheritance. And when you choose Jesus, you find out that you've chosen true riches indeed. I think about that song that we sometimes sing. The words go, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain or to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Boy, I tell you what, that's some beautiful words, but those are true words. Wouldn't you rather have Jesus than anything this whole world has to offer? If you can say, Jesus, you're my portion. You are my pleasant places. Then in verse 6, says this. It says, the lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. And may I tell you tonight that if you're saved and Jesus is your inheritance, which he is, folks, listen, when you get to heaven, you say, well, what do you mean that he's my inheritance? When you get to heaven, you're going to have him. He's going to be with you forever. He's with you now. And when you got saved, you got him. And that makes me happier than anything I could possibly imagine. Now, the fact of the matter is you know, we're blessed to be an American, and we're blessed to have our church, and we're blessed to have many, many things. And certainly the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places when it comes to, you know, us living in this country and having the freedoms that we have. And certainly I'm in pleasant places tonight, no matter what goes on in my life, because I've still got my family. I've still got my wife, my kids. I've got my church family, you know, and I've got a lot of blessings. But I'll tell you something, when it comes to pleasant places, I don't know that there is a better pleasant place to be in than knowing that Jesus Christ is not only my Savior, but he's my friend and he's my master. And so when David here was in a cave when he wrote this, and he was running from Saul, he was talking about being in pleasant places. And so you say, well, how could he possibly do that? Because he recognized who the Lord was, and he recognized his relationship with God. David knew that what God said, the promises that he made was true, that he would one day be king, and there was nothing that Saul could do about that. Now, I don't know where you are tonight, and I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what burdens your heart tonight, but the lines have fallen out unto you in pleasant places. You're a child of the King, and the Lord is preparing a place for you right now as we speak. Pleasant places. Pleasant places is the place of protection. Pleasant places is the place of provision. And then thirdly, pleasant places to the Christian is a place of proclamation. Now, David proclaims some glorious truths in verses 7 through 9. He makes a marvelous proclamation about our present life. He gives us in verses 7, 8, and 9 three spiritual realities that are available to saved people that are not available to unsaved people. You see, when you come to Christ, here are three realities which are yours in this present life. First of all, as believers, we have counsel. Notice in verses Psalm 16, verse 7, he says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. The believer has access to a counsel and guidelines which those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ do not have. You see, God has given us his counsel in the Bible. The lost world doesn't even understand the guidelines. The lost world doesn't even want to read the Bible. And people today that are lost, they don't have anywhere to turn. They're alone and they're confused and they're fearful and they're desperate. And they're looking everywhere to try to find guidance. And they run to unsaved counselors and they don't find any help there. And they run to the occult trying to make contact with them, but they don't find any help there. They run to oddball religions and trying to find something to help them and guide them, and they can't find anything there. But when you come to Jesus and receive him as your Savior, God gives you spiritual discernment, and he gives you his Spirit so that you can find counsel in his Word. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that, you know, no matter what goes on in my life, I can always turn to the Bible, and I can read it and see the counsel that God has for me. The second thing that we have that David talks about here that we have is some spiritual reality, and that is we have stability. In verse 8, David says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And what he's saying is that the Lord is right there. You know, in those days when someone was at your right hand, that meant that they were there to fight for you. That's when they would say, you know, this was this guy's right-hand man. I mean, he was the guy that you know, that would defend the king. Or he was the guy who the king would go to, and he was a trusted man. And if someone came up to your right hand, that meant that they were standing by ready to fight you. But, you know, the Lord here has given us as Christians stability. And David says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And what he's saying is I don't have to be afraid, David was saying. He was saying, I don't have to be shaken. He was saying, I have the Lord at my right hand. And that brings stability. You know, it's like the message that that I preached this past Sunday. And it was talking about how it was this past Sunday night, and it was the title of the message was, you know, if God be for us, who could be against us? You know, and that's basically what David is saying here. He's saying, if God be for us, if God be for me, who could be against me? God is my right hand man. God is at my right hand, and that gives me stability. Listen, folks, we don't need to fear what's going on in this world. We don't need to fear, you know, death. We don't need to fear financial crisis. We don't need to fear these things. Why? Because God is at our right hand. God's right there with us, and God will give us power, and God will give us protection, and God will give us stability. And then David talks about a third thing, and that is, as Christians, not only do we have stability, and not only do we have counsel, but as Christians, another thing that we have that this lost world does not have, and that's joy. And I'm talking about real joy. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances. I'm talking about joy. The joy that the Bible talks about. David says here in Psalm 16:9, he says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. Even though he was in a cave, even though he was being hunted down by King Saul and could be killed at any moment, his heart was glad, and he had hope. And as a Christian, regardless of what your circumstances are, you always have hope. And the reason you always have hope is because you have God on your side. The reason you have hope is because you have a loving Father that he can do all things, and nothing's impossible with him. And he's all powerful, and he wants the best for you. Now, the lost have no hope. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He's saying lost people don't have hope. You know, lost people don't even understand what hope is. Lost people don't even understand what joy is. Lost people could not have joy with the things going on in their life. But as Christians, we can. We can have that joy because we have that hope. We know where we're going to be and when we die. We know where we're going to be. And listen, every Christian, true born-again child of God, knows exactly where we're going to be 200 years from today. Every one of us do. And that brings us joy, or it should. But the lost world doesn't have that, folks. The lost world doesn't have joy, and the lost world doesn't have hope. Pleasant places to the Christian is a place of protection. Pleasant places for the Christian is a place of provision. God's going to provide for us. Pleasant places for the Christian is the place of proclamation. God has proclaimed that we have counsel, that we have joy. He's proclaimed that we have these things. And so my question for you tonight is this: do you recognize that really, as a Christian, I mean, really, if you think about it, you know, even though things may not be going the way we want them to go, even though I know that we have people right now in our church that are going through some really, really trying times, and we can see maybe even, some people can see even worse times coming in their lives, and I know that we live in a world that's unsure right now. But do you realize that really, you know, just like David was on the run, and just like David was facing, you know, what seemingly would have been, certain death. I mean, he did have a king with all of his men going after David. But the entire time David was on the run, the entire time David was going through this horrible time in his life, you know, David says, you know, "I'm in pleasant places. I'm in pleasant places." And he gave God the glory for it. The reason he could say that is because he had faith in God that God would handle the situation. You know, he had faith that God would, you know, deliver him from Saul. And folks, we need to have that same type of faith. We need to understand that as Christians, regardless of what happens in our lives, we are truly, truly in pleasant places. And so I want to encourage you with that tonight. I hope that all of you are doing well. I hope that all of you are avoiding, this sickness. And if you do have a cold, I hope that you get better. And again, continue to pray about this situation. And we're going to try to get back to regular services on Sunday, April 5th. Of course, we'll have to see how things are at that time. But we are going to have, I'm going to be preaching to empty seats again on Sunday morning. And I'll be recording. I put it on here so that you could hear it, and so that you can still follow me in the Bible. Now, remember, when we're having services, you open your Bible and you keep me honest. Amen? I mean, this is the same way. I mean, the only difference is I can't tell when you get there because I can't hear pages moving when you're sitting at home, okay? And I also want to encourage you one more thing, too, and I'll close, and that is, you know, on Sundays, when I give the message, if you feel like the Lord is leading you to to get right with God, or if the Lord is, if listen, if you're not saved and you're hearing this, if the Lord is leading you to be saved, which He is, listen, when the time comes, you don't have to wait for me to give the invitation. Just get on your knees and get right with God, right there where you're at. And that's the same way even tonight. If you need to, just, you know, thank the Lord for putting you in pleasant places, right there where you're at, just pray and say, thank you, Lord, for reminding me that truly that I am in pleasant places tonight. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be in those pleasant places. As always, like I said, I hope y'all are doing well, and I sure miss every one of you. I love every one of you, and I'll see you Sunday morning for Sunday school. Have a good night.